There's some very interesting jargon and some very interesting concepts that I think transcend campaigns that you refer to in the book. Concepts that we can just apply to our lives, our businesses, our organizations, regardless of whether we're doing a nonviolent direct action. One phrase that I noticed was prejudice reduction. Can you talk about what that is exactly and how it applies to the work that you do?
Well, the approach that has been working best in my life, I've been in all kinds of different groups, and some groups are way more sensitive to this kind of question of prejudice reduction than others. And what I've found is that the groups that say, whose invitation to new members is, hey, not only can you put your shoulder to the wheel, you know, help actions to happen and so on, but also you're joining a group where you can grow personally, where you can become a better person in the sense of a person who is more able to act in accordance to your own values. We know you have, you know, very progressive values, or you wouldn't even want to join our group, right? So we see members of our group as engaged in an empowerment process that supports us to be more in alignment in our behavior and in our attitudes, more in alignment with our values. And so we support each other. So we're kind of community that's interested in personal and spiritual growth. Now, the group that I'm involved with now for the last 7 years is a Quaker group. So we underline spiritual values as well as personal value, growth. And we say, we give that invitation to people. And so that means that we have internal workshops, because racism is so important and it's so difficult to get rid of in our country. So we do internal workshops in which the white people of us get to work on our racism. And that has become extremely important lately, because we're now in partnership with an organization that is led by black people, mostly working class black people. And so there's class as well as race that sometimes gums up the works when people try to work together. But because we're working on this consciously and intentionally at the same time as we're making change, that's pretty sweet. And a lot of people are attracted to be with us as a group precisely because we don't see a contradiction between personal growth and political work, but we see them as moving along together.
Another phrase is one I heard you mention on our walk up after I rang the doorbell. You're talking to your daughter, and you were talking about the spectrum of allies.
Yes. Talk about a handy concept. This is one that Marty Oppenheimer and I came up with in the 60s, in the early 60s, when we were writing a handbook for the civil rights movement, because the civil rights movement was growing so rapidly and in trouble in so many places, you know, because they were making trouble in so many places, you could say, nonviolent trouble, that the leadership didn't have time to write a handbook. And yet, without a handbook, there are a lot of newbies who are going to not have a clue, you know, about all kinds of things. And so Marty and I, even though we were white guys, we were very involved in the movement, but we were white guys, we thought, well, it'd be more appropriate for black people who wrote this handbook. But they don't have time, so we'll write this handbook. And in the handbook, we used for the first time this concept of spectrum of allies. Spectrum of allies is understanding that, yes, we have us and we have them on opposite sides, right? So you could draw a line across and say, okay, there's that. But actually, most of the people in the neighborhood you're working in, or in the city, or in the country that you're working in, the state, whatever, most of the people are somewhere on a spectrum between us and them. And it doesn't pay to get obsessed by them and forget about all those people who are on the spectrum between you and them. Trump is such a spectacular narcissist, you know, that it's very easy to get obsessed with him and forget that most of the country is not in Trump territory, nor in our territory, actually, but is somewhere ranged on a spectrum between us and them.
The soft white middle.
The soft white middle, right. And also, between the middle and us, there are people inclined toward us, but need a particular approach to bring them closer. And from the other point of view, also from Trump's point of view, there are some people between the middle and him who he would like to draw closer, although he doesn't really know how to do that.
And he's not going to do that. It's not going to happen. We're just watching the slow burn of a human being who is the epitome of the Peter principle. But that's another story.
No, you're right. But, I mean, his base keeps eroding. So he doesn't know how to expand his base. He doesn't know how to use the spectrum of allies on his behalf. That's a good thing from my point of view. But we need to learn how to use the spectrum of allies on our point of view, which is the part of the spectrum that leans toward us, to invite them to understand them better, so that if they have hang-ups about particular habits of ours, to remove those habits or to try new approaches and so on and so on. And then there is that big middle, uncommitted, and sometimes we need to do actions directed toward them and help them to get off the fence and to join us. And successful movements, therefore, can be looked at as those movements that develop strategies to broaden their base by activizing those groups that are inclined in that direction, and also the neutral people.
Right.